I've known some people.
Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Seeing no public to give public comment, we move into the action items. Covered mortgage roof repair project.
Okay, well, as we talked earlier, we put out an RFP for a request for proposal to local banks, but we also put it on our website so anyone in the country could apply for financing services for our covered mortgage project. What we are asking for is proposals instead of quotes because I wanted them to kind of come up with an idea that would best suit our financing needs. And exactly what happened was that the two banks that responded are very different. The first one in your packet is Kitsap Bank, which is proposing a LTGO bond, which is a limited tax obligation bond. This is something that I didn't believe that for $1 million we could do, but the way they put it together, they put this program together where Kitsap Bank wants to hold the bonds themselves. They don't want to sell them. Most of the time when you do a bond and you want to sell bonds, you need to go through a rating agency, you need to do a lot of different things that doesn't make a $1 million bond cost effective. But the fact that they want to keep this in their portfolio, they're going to automatically give us a double A rating, not a triple A rating. And so this thing is organized where there is no loan fees.
They said triple A.
Did they say triple?
Which is low.
Yeah. There's no fees to this. Mm-hmm. There's no prepayment penalty. We can pay it off 2 months from now if we wanted to. And the interest rates are very, very competitive. They're actually a point less than Liberty Bank. The flag was when I talked to them, I talked to Alan, I asked him what he thought that it was going to cost to have bond counsel draw up the paperwork. And he said, well, I don't know. And we both at the same time said, well, we should talk to Cynthia Weed, because Cynthia Weed is probably the expert in bond counsel throughout the region. So I called Cynthia, and she said that she thought that it would be probably about $5,000 to draw up all the documents. So, no loan origination fee, about $5,000 in legal fees, and an interest rate that's about a point lower. And the thing that I like about Kitsap Banks is it's an LTGO bond, so it pledges our tax dollars, not our operating dollars, so it's not...
Can I ask you about that? Because I'm looking at the security paragraph 6D, like a dog. Mm-hmm. And it says security, the bonds will be a limited general obligation of the port. So there, as I read it, it doesn't call for a...
It's not a tax bond.
It's not a tax bond. There's no...
Right.
Basically, it's no security. It's an unsecured loan other than our pledge to budget and appropriate from monies available.
Yeah.
In other words, a promise to repay.
Right.
It seemed like Liberty Bank had a significant reserve requirement.
Right.
And it was complex, too.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... Kitsap Bank, they came in and did their proposal. It was very well done. They put out an amortization schedule to show us kind of what it's going to be. It works out to about $7,000 a month, and we budgeted $7,200 a month. We get about $8,200 a month in covered mortgage fees, which is that delta. So in theory, we could always say that delta is enough to pay the bond.
I think just as a bigger picture, the covered mortgage fees and fees we collect after the bond goes off should go into the marina replacement fund. That we use that as a capital tool. So even though it may not be going for covered mortgage replacement eventually, you know, since we would have intended to take from that fund, that we take that money and put it into that fund. Because this is 15 years, obviously, we're not going to replace this, but we want it, if we keep the fee up and long gone, that should go into the marina recapitalization thing.
Yeah.
So that any surplus, we're working on that eventuality.
I'm not sure I agree with you, but we don't have to decide that right
no,
now.
No, no, I'm just thinking that, well, I got asked in the coffee shop, what happens when you pay it off? And I said, well, that money's going to go into replacing the floats. So
I would think it'd go into a sinking fund to replace the covered mortgage the next time, so we wouldn't have to borrow money at that point. We'd already have it. But that's
yeah, I was just thinking that the next event after the covered mortgage will be the floats.
Yeah.
And where does that money come from? But I didn't mean to disagree with you. I'm totally agree with you. We're not going to be here.
Yeah, we'll be long gone.
Hopefully, I'll be in the old home. Sorry.
Question, though, on interest rates. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at their amortization table. And under interest rate, it seems to float from, 2.5 down to 1.4 up to 3.5. And I'm sure that someone could explain to me the amortization table really clearly as to why it reflects that. But
yeah, and it might be good to have Alan come and explain this to you, but let me tell you my take on it. One is the first 2.5 up on top is the draw period.
Right.
So it's while we're drawing money. They gave us a very generous draw period of over a year.
Right.
But that would be the interest. When we write them a letter and say, correct me if I'm wrong, Juanita, because you were in that meeting too, this is it, we're done with the draw, then it reverts to the interest rate, the next interest rate, which is 1.84. But the reason it goes from 8.4 to 2.4, I don't know. There is a 5-year adjustment period, so in 5 years they can adjust that rate. And his comment was, you could pay it off if you really wanted to in 5 years too.
So they're committing, well, I was wondering when I saw the same question whether that meant they would be checking the AAA municipal market rate curve and adjusting us based on whatever that happened to be.
Yeah,
that's not the way they're doing it?
My understanding.
Okay.
But I agree that it might be good to have Alan come in, pick our bank, but have him come in the next meeting and fully explain to you exactly these numbers.
Yeah, this could just be their sort of educated guesstimate of what they think the AAA rate will be, and then plus the 75 basis points.
Right. At the time we negotiate the...
Yeah, so as we go through this period through, the 2020s up to 2032, that's kind of their best guess for today as to what interest rates will be.
Yeah. But this all looks good. When I looked up the Federal Home Loan Board rates, and you couldn't find the right category, but then they say FLAB for the previous month plus 3%.
Mine then.
That's pretty high.
Then
that's 75 and 6%.
Then 75% of that.
Then 75. Oh, okay. Then 75.
Yeah.
But it seemed higher, significantly higher than this.
Right.
Whole table.
So anyway, that's the first one. The second one is just the straight loan.
Before you go to that one, you said that there was a year draw period, and I see the 2.5% lasting through December of this year.
That's what this says. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, and then it.
Right. So it's they're saying 500,000 by June, and then another 500,000 by the end or December. But I told them that covered mortgage is going to be done by June. Mm-hmm. So we should have drawn everything out by June.
Okay.
He only asked that Juanita, what did he say? He only wanted $100,000 at a time. He didn't want it.
Yeah.
How long do we hold back after completion? That's only a few months, right?
Well, yeah, 30 days. We got to get all the tax records to make sure that Craig paid all his taxes.
So it's not like it was. Yeah. Okay.
June should be fine. But he's given us an extra 6 months in there to do that.
Cool. Okay.
Liberty Bank straight loan, $1 million. The thing that got me is they want a $7,500 loan fee, and I think that's really high. They amortized it, or they did a 10-year payback with a 15-year amortization.
They'll give us a balloon payment at the end, then, the idea. They didn't do it an amortization table for us.
This is all they gave me right there, that one page, or two pages.
And the prepayment penalties.
Yeah, not for the first, after the 5 years, if we hold it for 5 years, there is no prepayment penalty. But before 5 years, there is a schedule of 3% where Kitsap has no prepayment penalty.
That 30-60 stuff, that means you're basing the annual rate based on 360 days right here and 30 days in a month.
Right.
Okay, so it's maybe a little higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not it's much.
That's pretty common. This looks like to me like a pretty straight commercial loan proposal.
That's all right.
Whereas the Kitsap Bank is frankly creative thinking. You know, they're stepping out of the box and looking at it differently.
Well, I appreciate it that Kitsap Bank wrote something that I can understand. So, I mean, it shows a customer service attitude to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this was very difficult, left a lot of questions.
It was interesting talking to Cynthia Wee, who sees these every day, and she says that Kitsap Bank is one of her favorite banks to deal with, that they really understand dealing with ports. So,
I'm hearing you prefer Kitsap Bank.
That would be my recommendation. But
would it be useful to vote on this? So that you have that direction.
Yeah, I would like some direction from you. But if you need more information and you want Dwayne and Alan to come in and compete, that's fine too. Yeah. There's no gun to our head right now because we're just starting draws. We just got our first bill the other day, $100,000, I think, from this.
Well, I move that we have Jim pursue the Kitsap Bank proposal. And if we need any more information, then he can provide it to us. But we go ahead with that if it's acceptable to him.
All right, yep. I'll second that, and just under the discussion part of that, I assume that what you would do then is come back to us with a final agreement for authorization to sign.
Right.
Thanks for all the work you did on this. That's really great. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah.
I think it's in the long run, it's really going to benefit the port to hold money in reserves for other projects and. Mm-hmm. Have covered mortgage pay for this. So, all in favor?
Any other comments?
No.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Smash. Off you go. Okay, the next thing is the Hill House residential lease.
Well, again, Sam has been a rock star on this. She's pretty much taken the ball and run with leasing that house up. Showed it a bunch of times and, showed it to a family, and you can.
It's a great family. It is a husband and wife, a 4-year-old daughter. It will also include the wife's mother, as well as the wife's siblings. So it's going to be the whole family in the house. They're going to utilize the whole property. It'll be really nice for the family environment for them, so we'll be welcoming them. Intended start date of the lease is March 1. They've already secured the property with their security deposit, when showing the house, you know, in speaking with Jim, we had some options to seal that deal and make it possible. And so, they could have chosen the $24.75 proposed monthly rent with a year lease, and that would be that would have allowed for the second month free, so they could return that $24.75 into the property, customize it in a way that suited their needs. Option two was no lease incentives per se, no free months or anything like that, but a negotiated rate down to $2,000 per month with a year lease signing. And so that is the option that they went for. From what they have told me, they anticipate staying there until it is time for the to look at development of the property. You know, we'll have them for the duration, hopefully, as long as everything, you know, works out for them. And we've got the executed lease. Jim has yet to execute our end of the lease. We just want to make sure that everything looks good. The house, they did the walkthrough with Ray this weekend on Saturday. So we have the full checklist and propane amounts, oil, heating oil amounts, everything has been checked off, and so
they're in charge of all utilities except water and sewer is our responsibility as landlords, but propane, heating oil, all that, electricity, they'll be in charge of. We use a standard residential lease, so we didn't modify it at all. It's a standard residential lease for Washington State.
Are they responsible for grounds maintenance?
Yes. We gave them the option for $200 a month if they want us to come in and mow the lawn and stuff, and they have not do that. They may later, but Ray thought that for about $200 a month, they can go up and keep that lawn, you know, nice and trim. Anyway, it seems like it's not as much money as we wanted to get for it. We obviously thought a little higher, but boy, we had a lot of people look at it, and they all said it's too expensive.
What about leasehold tax?
So we're going to have to eat the leasehold tax. So we're going to have to pull that out of the $2,000.
What's the percentage?
So that's 12.84. It's about $300. So we're going to net about $1,700.
Well, it's better than nothing.
Right.
And there's somebody in the house.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, I appreciate you going through all this to get a tenant. Yeah. And have we informed Doris? Do we need to?
We do.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything until I talked to the commission. Yeah. I wanted you guys to feel good about this. So, you know, if there's good to be there for a couple of years, then that'd be great.
Is there any provision for escalation after the first year?
It's only a one-year lease, so they have to. We'll renegotiate every year.
Okay.
And the reason I did that is because, you know, RCWs requires more than a month's deposit for anything over a year. So then they would have had to come up with $4,000 deposit. So I said, let's just write this as a year-to-year, one-year lease,
sure.
And we'll renegotiate.
And that's good because both parties can decide whether this is the right thing to do, and it's uncomplicated.
Is the lease agreement written so that the security deposit secures full performance and damage and everything else, and not just rent?
It is not rent. This is not a last month's deposit. This is a security deposit for damage.
Damage and cleaning,
right.
And could be applied if they default, and we have to.
It is a standard security deposit. It is not intended to be last month's rent. And it was written that way. We didn't want first and last month's rent.
Yeah.
Do we have any prohibitions in the lease, like smoking or dogs or things like that?
Like what?
Any prohibitions in the lease, like smoking or dogs or things like that?
We didn't do anything like
okay.
that.
Okay, so it's.
And they do have a dog, and I said, great, we love dogs.
We got
a fence. They have a dog, they have a cat. The only thing that is written into the lease for a prohibitive is no Airbnb subletting of the basement apartment. If they chose, which it's their choice, going in to sublet that lower apartment to the sister, that was permitted on court approval. But you know, any Airbnb, we didn't want constant traffic then to utilize that space for that reason, so they will not be doing that.
Thank you. Do you need any action from the board on this?
Yeah, I'd like action.
Then I'd move that we authorize you to go forward with signing a lease on the terms presented and entering into a one-year lease with the old property.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Great. Yeah, I think the best thing about that is somebody's going to be in it from a security point of view. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Sediment analysis consultant.
So we talked about this last week while you weren't here, just to bring you up to date. Carolyn's been back and forth with the Navy, and they say basically they want more proof than what happened on this end, because they don't believe it's the same thing's going to happen. So we have no proof. You know, it's all anecdotal. Yes, we had sediment drift before, but we don't know if the new culvert opening is going to. So we talked about calling Coast and Harbor Engineer, which is now Mott MacDonald, and having Shane Phillips, who did our dredging, he was the engineer for dredging, take a look at it. So I called Shane and said, what do you think you can do? And he says, well, we need, you know, site visit, we need to go up and look at it, I need to go to the county, get all their records. He says he remembers there being a pretty big study that the Navy did. Way back when, I said, I have no copies of it. It wasn't the EA. No.
Maybe it's referenced in the EA.
So he was going to go to the county to see, and he came back with a proposal. I told him, we have to have something by the 27th of this month, so time's of the essence, because the 1st of March is the last day for appeal. So he believed for $9,800, I think, in his quote, he could draft a letter that would be an engineer's opinion of what is going to happen.
I think the original project was done under the Corps of Engineers. So if there was any studying done, it was done by them, because it was federal federal money, and I don't know. I think it came from the, I'm not sure the federal funding source, but it, the same thing that does hurricane relief and all that sort of stuff. Because I remember many going to work in New Orleans after the hurricane. So I think any data would be a Corps of Engineers data. But I think this was totally outside the window of analysis. I sent you something this morning.
I saw that this morning.
Shows the buoys marching out. I mean, that's all we had because we were in reactive mode. My concern is that if we get infill again, be able to say it was, we knew what was before the project, and now it's, you know, thus, and therefore there's some impact. That's all I'm just, how do you establish, you saw the stuff, Steve Hecox, oh, a drift cell caused this and all that, but you can look at the buoys march out over 6 months and reduce the channel by about half. So the idea is, and whatever we need to do so that we establish the baseline, and if this does that, that sounds great.
Carolyn thought this was a good way to go. She thought that having a registered engineer say, hey, we do this all the time, and this is what we think is going to happen, that will put them on notice.
And then if it actually does happen,
right,
then does that enable us to tie back and say, and that's what caused it?
She would present this as an appeal to the CZM, which is the Department of Ecology's Water Quality, and that's what we're trying to appeal this through water quality and not anything else, because that's all we have available to us.
So this is federal money, so NEPA fully applies. So they have to consider impact to the human environment. The problem before is they just drew a boundary on immediately adjacent properties.
200 feet out was all.
Yeah. So the issue is you need to have a study boundary or whatever, a monitoring boundary bigger than that, and then see what happens. And I think it's their responsibility under the NEPA, because we can say that we had to dredge and we got some data, so there is a reasonable assurance that they're monitoring for the change, you know. So
who establishes the monitoring boundaries?
Well, this was the Corps of Engineers originally, when they did the EA. But they're mostly worried about fish and bugs and bunnies, not sedimentation.
Yeah.
Did Shane confirm that they have the post-dredge survey?
They have that.
That's what I thought.
And we have that. We have the post-dredge survey in file, too.
So there's a good, clear marking of where we were, 2 years ago now? And then he can compare that to where things are now. And then if we get infill, compared to where they are after that.
That's the goal.
So without monitoring, we might be able to say, the original survey is the as-is condition before the project, pretty much. And then if it changes, then people will say, well, no, it actually filled up before, between when you dredged and when we started doing this.
Yeah. You could do a spot dredge, hydraulic. So he can come out and do lead line hydraulic right now and get a baseline.
You could make the case that since the EA said that sediment will be released over several years, if there is infill, it could still be due to the bridge project.
The first bridge project.
I don't know that we should be held responsible for the fact that we didn't start monitoring from day one.
Right.
We've got some data that shows how the channel narrowed. That really wasn't our responsibility in the first place. We just, you know, saw the effects of it, just like a homeowner might say, well, we're a homeowner, where's your baseline? Well, we didn't know it until we saw the
folks going to ground. But you raise a good point about there was anticipation of additional infill after the first bridge, because that's why we have a potential, and I think a permit for a second dredging within 5 years. So there's kind of risk that they're going to point and say, oh, no, that's just, you know, from the first.
I think point for us is this channel remains stable for 50 years. And you can design marinas so the circulation can, and then we see the channel narrow by half, this, the reasonable person would say something. Yeah.
We're talking DEA, we're not talking reasonable.
Okay. So is the Caroline saying that this was what
this is what she wanted to take to them to appeal this.
Okay.
So the only thing I'm still unclear about is monitoring boundary going forward. Is this established by the Corps? I mean, by the
Well, I think what Carolyn's point is going to be when she appeals this is that they need to extend that monitoring boundary to our marina.
Okay.
Right now it's not. And I think that's our whole appeal. We're not asking them to do anything now. We're just asking them to extend that monitoring for 5 years out to our marina.
I think this is the argumentation. If you do an EA on a project that's in two parts, an EA is done at, say, at this time, and then 5 years later you do the first project and you see a change that may have not been considered in the original EA, that could be cause to go back and reevaluate the EA because you have new information. So it seems like most projects are just one-shot deals, but this is different that way. So since federal law applies, I think there's maybe an opportunity to say they should extend, do exactly what Mary says.
Do you need a motion from us to approve?
Yeah, I'd like to. I mean, this is within my spending authority, but I always like the commission to be back there. I look over my shoulder.
We're behind you, way behind.
Way behind.
Thanks for chasing this down.
Then I'll move that we approve the engagement of Mott McDonald for the scope of work and under the fee estimates that's in their proposal here.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Thanks a lot, Chief. I really appreciate that.
Is there anything that you would, I mean, the obvious answer is no. I'm thinking about the fee estimate. And whether or not, what the likelihood is of that going south, what could cause that to not be, not hold.
The fee?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's a problem. This is an opinion letter, so it's not something, we're not doing public works where we need to, you know, we're counting widgets. This is basically somebody, he knows what it takes to write a letter, he knows what it takes to come for a site visit. And he'll come and present to the commission, probably the 21st.
Right. And it is actually a not to exceed amount, even though he calls it an estimate.
He did all the dredge monitoring, Shane did. Yeah, so he's totally.
And he lives in Kingston, so he's a local resident.
Well, we know where he lives.
Don't tell us. Okay, the curb scheduling.
So we originally, we were going gung-ho to have a meeting on the 23rd, public meeting. We have postcards designed. We're doing posters. Sam's been working with Heartland. And then we got news that Matt Anderson couldn't make the 23rd. I feel that Matt Anderson is the leader of Heartland, and we really need him there. I think Matt Hoffman and Carson are nice guys, and they're probably smart. But I think Matt would help with his aura of getting things from the public that the other two won't. So their proposal is the only way he can make it if we move it to the 28th of February. So
from a Thursday night to a Tuesday night.
Before we 28th, right?
Wasn't it? Yeah. 28th is Tuesday.
Okay. So the cards aren't printed yet.
No.
Okay. So it'd still be the 1 o'clock and 6 o'clock, but on the 28th.
Right. So because I opened my mouth at Chamber and KCAC and told everybody the 23rd, I wanted to make sure you guys were comfortable with moving it, and then we would make sure that KCAC, that Rebecca gets a notice out to everybody in KCAC, and we can have Colleen do a notice for Chamber, just to say at different times.
The 28th, since it's February, we can get that in community news.
Okay.
We could get that what?
That in the community news, because they publish before the end of the month. So that's one way to get the word out.
So they're designing an ad for the newspaper, too, for not only the community news, but also the North Kitsap Herald.
Yeah, they originally might want to write an article in the community, in KCN.
Anyway, I'm in favor of moving it, but I just wanted to check with you before we pull that trigger, because once we do, it's going to be a lot of work getting all this stuff done and mailed out.
Did you say in your email the phase one report is delayed?
Yes. He said either today or tomorrow. So it was supposed to be Friday.
So is he going to do a verbal brief on that sometime?
He was just going to send you the report.
Okay.
And you can certainly call him with any questions.
Yeah. But they're not going to have a conference call. Okay.
Now, I'm a little uneasy because things keep sliding back just a little bit. But not to the point where I want to stomp my feet and pound on the table yet, but I'm just, I'm aware that we're slipping here from our schedule, and we have been several times, and I'm really anxious to get the results of this study and to get all the input together so we can start going. So that's, I'm just voicing my awareness.
I think our neighbors to the south are taking a lot of their time, Port of Bremerton. So
I was guessing that
they're working on both of them at the same time, and they're juggling.
Well, we want to do it right, so I wouldn't want to rush the job, but I understand your sensitivity.
It would be probably helpful to ask them to take a look at the schedule and see whether or not the end date is affected by the slippage. And,
good point.
You know,
do they see more slippage, foresee more slippage?
And where it could happen and that sort of thing.
Okay. And why.
Yeah. And they should be able to tell that easily.
Mm-hmm. So we don't really need a motion or anything, but if you're all happy with moving it, not happy, but...
well, I can make either day, so I'm okay. I don't know the dynamics of a Tuesday or a Thursday.
I can't see.
I think it's really important that Matt is there.
Okay.
When the three of them were here, without any offense to young people, I listened to the other two, and I thought, oh, look, they're very, very young. And then Matt talked, and I thought, but he's very, very smart.
Yes.
Same kind of reaction that I have with you guys. So, it's nice. I think he's necessary to it, given that so much of the crowd is going to be, you know.
I think this is a very important meeting because it's going to pick up the sense of the community, and that takes a lot of fine discernment, I think, and the more of them, the better to pick up on how people are reacting, even if they don't verbalize it.
There's a benefit to this, I think. And that is, we were on the 23rd going to be shoved into the senior room at the Village Green, which is not a very conducive room to hold a meeting, mm-hmm. because Zumba was in the big room. So can you check and see if we can get the big room on the 28th?
Yes, of course.
I think that will be a lot better and more conducive to the meeting than
if they have the presentation materials.
Yeah.
We can use the big camera. Or they need two rooms to use the big camera.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The big screen.
Mm-hmm. The video projection.
Good.
Okay. Great. So, any other staff comments?
Juanita?
I didn't prepare anything for today.
That's good.
But I will have something for you next time.
You said you had some warrants?
No.
No.
No, no, no. That's the 15th.
Okay.
So, on the 22nd, is that the next commission meeting?
That's
yes. Correct.
Yeah.
You're going to have your new financial form that shows
percentage
of budget, which I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Mm-hmm. Also wanted to say, that Jeanette Swanson is now a permanent full-time employee. So she passed her probation.
Good. The flying colors, I might add.
Yes.
She's really an amazing employee.
That's all I have.
Sam?
I have got, other than the lease, nothing terribly exciting at this time. We did get an influx of public records requests over the weekend. I need to tally exact totals, but it's a big chunk, so I'll be pursuing those. And just based on the nature of the request, one of the requesters, I would be, you know, forwarding some of that to legal counsel just to make sure that we've got all of our bases covered, that everybody's aware of activity on public records requests, and relatively straightforward requests.
Who is our counsel now for PRRs going forward?
Well, that's a good discussion point. These PRRs look like they're all tailored to Christine's case, so it looks like that's heating up. So we're certainly going to send them to Kelly in Spokane. But I think that we want to talk, Bruce and I talked about it the other day, as far as after Friday, we might want to consider switching horses to Carolyn to do the remainder of what's going to happen with the ISA case.
Yeah, I would like Carolyn to transition because she's a long-term person. And as new PR, she is a PR attorney, if you want to put that term. So I'd rather have her cut in if you need to get legal advice, because what... any follow-on based on that advice will be sure that we have to handle it to us. So I appreciate that transition.
Okay, we'll talk about that formally in a meeting, but That's kind of what staff is looking forward after Friday, then looking for a transition point to. But I've got to say, Kathleen, bringing Beth on, that really helped us. That team really bailed us out, so I'm really grateful to both of them for getting us to where we are anyway.
Is Beth still available for sort of contract work assistance?
She is. We took her out to lunch. Four of us went out to lunch with her the other day, and she's working for Kirkland right now, City of Kirkland, doing public record stuff, but it's only on contract basis. But she is. I told her I have her number on speed dial.
Kirkland has a PRR triage program.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You're able to sort how you act on it.
She said it's pretty amazing when getting into the city of Kirkland and how they handle public records. It's all on computers, all mechanized. And she was telling us this program that you just put in a search and it all of a sudden just populates everything.
Well, the archivists, when they briefed us a long time ago, had suggested a records database system and they had a term for it. But I think at the time we thought it was too expensive to
it's
do
still,
it.
Yeah, didn't they say $25,000?
It's about $25,000, and that's
yeah.
For the QA system.
Yeah, we talked to them about it.
Yeah.
$25,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that's just to put it in place. That's
yeah.
Not to manage.
Not to manage it.
Yeah. Ideally, it saves you time because you don't have to search for records in musty boxes in the back of storage units.
So, the only thing, you have anything else, Sam? The only thing I have is I realize I haven't given you the finished drawings for the new administration building. So this is a monumental day. This is going into permitting today. So Bob's going over to Port Orchard to get it into permitting. And we'll see if the county can turn it around in 30 days. If they do, there's a chance we might start building this year. So we're all very happy with it. Staff's had input on how the things are going to be laid out, and I think the look of it is very nice. It's going to coordinate with our covered moorage. It's going to be the same color scheme, so you're going to know that moorage and administration kind of work together. So again, very happy with it.
Good. Were you able to find out anything about the inert gases in the windows there to retain heat, or is that
not yet? Yeah, that's going to be down the road when we actually spec things out. This is just to get a.
Don't have to have that to get the permit.
Have you made further thinking or decision about the fire pit?
We haven't made any decisions. Staff is kind of looking into how we get propane to it. And the only way we can figure out how to do that is to get a propane truck in the ferry waiting line. So I think we need to talk to ferries to see if they will allow us to fuel from there, because there's no other way to get a hose that far. We can't drive a propane truck to the building, so we're still working on that one.
So the matting hold up?
No. Yeah, they didn't want to, Bob didn't want people to drive on it on a regular basis.
Okay.
You know, for a fire truck,
great,
go for it.
Not gonna get stuck.
But on a regular basis, we're just a little worried, especially in the winter time when you'd use the fire pit. But if ferries will allow us, you know, a 20-minute period where they can just sit there, throw a hose over the fence, and fuel a vertical tank right behind the building, that's doable.
What is, I think I mentioned that I had concerns about people coming and using it in the night and doing and it not being manageable. And I talked to one of the guys yesterday or last week who said, no, we're going to do it with propane, we're going to put a screen over the top so that you can't dump stuff in. What's your imagination in terms of how frequently it would be used? I have some concern about public saying you spent on this and you use it twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All that has to be worked out. Our idea for managing it would be on a timer system. So after a certain amount of time, it would click the propane off and you wouldn't be able to turn it on. I think it'd have to be managed by staff. But I see certainly summer concerts, it would be wonderful for. Certainly all the other events we do. I think if we have rendezvous, boat rendezvous in, it should be available to them. I think we can charge for it. You know, if a club comes in, we could probably charge a $20 fee to use the fire pit. It's going to go through a lot of propane. But I do think that it's going to be a nice amenity that people are going to really like if we can pull it off.
I think it helps us in terms of marketing as a destination. And we knew our our visiting mortgage was softening. Mm-hmm. Other places do this. So I think that it's beyond the community. It's, as Jim points out, it's to attract visiting voters here.
I think it'd be used quite a bit. One of the concerns staff had was that Paulsbo has one, and it's a garbage pit. People just throw all their garbage in.
Yeah.
So that Steve was looking at this really nice dome, this wire dome that would go over the top of it that would allow the flames, but not things sure. thrown into it.
So no pagan ceremonies.
But that all has to be vetted yet. But that's just conceptual.
Yeah.
So potentially people who weren't a yacht club, a concert series, but people could come and say, we want to use it for $20 and have an event here.
We could do that. We could have that as a line item on our event sheet that we rent from.
Yeah. Okay.
Would we have it if, you know, like in the summer with transient boaters pulling in, would we ever just light it to attract people, or would it be always be, or have you got that far with it?
I haven't got that far, but I think yes. If it's a chilly night and we have a group of boaters coming in, I think it would be great to just light it. Mm-hmm. With the idea that it shuts itself off at 8 o'clock or whatever number we say, mm-hmm. it just automatically turns itself off.
It might be useful, if you haven't done, check with Bruce Risk Management, mm-hmm. see if there's any features associated with this that we might want to consider.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Walt.
Mm-hmm. I assume that the curved line was the concrete pour that you had out in the grass.
Yeah, it's going to be decorative concrete, just like the, it's going to match what we have now. Anyway, we're in permitting, so we'll see if they can turn that around in 30 days, and we can refine all of the specs. You can see up in the upper, we had the darndest trouble trying to figure out what to do with where the door is, the present door right in the middle, because we would have had to rip the whole thing apart and put a new header in there if we were going to put a new window in. And Bob and I talked to the architect and said, you know, just take the door out and side over it. We're going to use that place to put a sign up. So that's where the Port of Kingston sign will be, right between the two windows up on top, which will be a better spot than where it is now in the railing, kind of mm-hmm. askew.
I was thinking when you said, gee, why the hell did the port build the office up there? And I think it's so they could see boats coming in mm-hmm. in the main fairway. But now we have cameras. So I'm assuming that the downstairs floors is going to be a camera monitoring area so that the staff can see arrivals and departures.
Well, one of our goals, and Juanita's working on right now, is during the summer, the docks are going to be manned. They're not going to be sit in the office and say, come up to the office and check in. There'll be somebody down by the fuel dock helping people tie up and checking them in right there with a credit card swipe.
Send them to Walmart Greeter School.
Yeah, I mean,
well, it works.
That's what everybody's doing, and we heard
that
when we, you know, when we talked to the guy from Wagoneers. You know, he says people are down on the docks and they're checking people in. They're not saying.
Yeah, with that little square thing, you can just make any place a hotspot.
Yeah, the problem we're having is getting it to tie into our reservation system. So we're still working on that, but Juanita's on it. So anyway,
well,
we're really excited about it.
Ports based on that, yep. You know, where we were tying up for a night.
Sure.
So, cool.
A couple of times you've mentioned, we'll see if they can turn it around in 30 days on the permit. Where does the 30-day idea come
so
from?
If you go to their Kitsap County website, they have a performance gauge, and it shows the average time for commercial permits and the average time for residential. And right now it says on their website, 30 days for commercial and 61 days for 30 days for commercial, 61 days for residential. So I didn't believe that, but they turned covered mortgage around 30 days. Actually, it's 31 days. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to see if they'll do the same with this one.
What's the magic of, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, how are they doing on the park? It's kind of neither fish nor fowl there.
Yeah, the park is kind of a different animal because it's stuck in public works still for stormwater. Mm-hmm. So this doesn't have a stormwater component to it, but the park definitely does.
Okay. I haven't checked the website in a while, but can this project and the covered mortgage project be on the website? So people who are interested in, sure. You know, I don't mean a lot, but enough so that this picture might be there.
Yeah.
So that if there's curious,
yeah,
curious folks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is the outside edge? If it was 34 days, would we still be able to construct this year?
So my big concern is being able to get upstairs and do business in our present office somehow, because the deck's going to be ripped off. And I didn't want that to happen in June and July and August. So the architect feels that the first thing we should do is put in the new back door and the new stairway right away, first thing. And then there's access to upstairs, and we don't have to worry about, what we do in front. We'll obviously fence off, we'll put construction fence, and we can do anything we want in June, July, August, as long as people can get up to the office easily.
I understand from this plan, other than the back door, there's no substantial remodeling from upstairs.
Just my office, it's not substantial, they'll just put walls. I'm going to be where customer service is now, okay. And Juanita's going to take my office. Where Juanita is now will be a conference room for y'all. But no, it's really minor, nothing structural.
Okay, so there's really not, you can keep that office up there intact through the construction period without impacting.
Right.
Cutting in the door would probably be the most disruptive part of it.
Right. And there's already a window there. There's a header there, so all we have to do is pull the window out, cut it down, put a door in. The fabricating the metal stairway. But Scott, the architect, thinks that the stairway, the way he has it designed, we can buy it off the shelf. There are stairway manufacturers. It's going to be a metal stairway that stairway manufacturers in Seattle just have that pitch all worked out, just bolted together. Yeah, the only way we could get that stairway that close to the ferry landing was do metal. We couldn't do a wood stairway for fire code. So, but a metal stairway is fine. So, because it's going to be... You know, when you're on that stairway, you're going to be like right next to the ferry dock.
Yeah, you're going to be out over that walkway area right there, right next to the covered area.
Cool.
That's all I have.
What is going on in February that commissioners might be interested in? I haven't checked the website, and I understand chamber and all that stuff. Is there any other events that are happening at the port?
I don't have the calendar.
I didn't check the thing. I just kind of wonder if there's anything.
Of course.
I've sort of been checked out and doing other stuff.
I'm going to pull it up right now. It's not as LTE's it says it is. It's moving a little slow.
So I assume the three of you are going to be going to the spring conference in...
I don't know when it is.
Clee Ellum.
It's May 15th, or 16th to the 18th, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So let's see.
17, 18, 19.
Current exciting events for February, of course, unless that has changed for scheduling of the Superior Court hearing, Friday the 10th.
Yep, no, it's
okay,
fine.
Friday
it's
the
on.
10th at 1:30. And then we've got a broken link.
We'll get you a copy.
Well, if there's anything coming up that you might be interested in, please let us know.
Yeah.
Do you need anything from, it's premature to talk about registration for this May conference at WPPA.
Oh, the earlier the better. I can, if everybody's interested in going, I can scratch that off the list and remove the post.
Because rooms are always a tough thing, the earlier, yeah. if, even if we have to cancel a week out, I think we should book. If you're wanting to go,
yeah.
You just book it.
I'm planning to go.
All right, and will you be traveling solo or with
yes.
your spouse?
Okay. Or we'll be down in Arizona somewhere.
And so what were the dates again? Do you know?
I do. Unfortunately, the link that I have for my calendar is broken, so.
17,
18, 19. It's in Clee Ellum. It's a nice resort up there.
So I assume I'm going, but the reason I wanted the set of dates for all those things was so I could do some calendar planning.
Got it. So I'll wait to hear from you.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Have we heard anything with Mr. Carsmar's initiative on traffic?
The meeting's
in March 23rd
March.
Or something.
Yeah, so it's a while down the road.
He did get a traffic
counter.
I don't
think the court has a lot to do with that, but you never know.
I'll be there. I'm going to go to the meeting.
No, I'm...
Oh, he has concern about... I think he's mostly concerned about traffic and Village Green traffic on West Kingston Road causing congestion and high speeds.
While the bridge is being rebuilt.
No,
there,
this is like it's been a problem, and it's and then of course this, the foot ferry could make it worse, and maybe our development project could affect it, but it's neighborhood.
He has started talking about South Kingston Road, and because he's got this email chain at this point with the whole cove, all of the people that live out there who have concerns about traffic, not only currently, because there are some issues there, especially at the curve.
On West Kingston.
On South Kingston. That
curve where Barber Cutoff comes in?
No.
Or farther on down?
Farther on down, South Kingston.
Okay.
And where the speed goes down to 25, there's a blind corner.
So that's what you want.
And that's had issues for a long time. But it ties into concerns about what happens when 700 homes are suddenly there. Mm-hmm. And so he's mobilizing that conversation as
with
well.
With a goal or, I mean, who,
get
who's
the county to fix it.
So is this, what's coming up, is that West Kingston or West Kingston and South Kingston?
I don't know what his focus is on where he is with the South Kingston piece. I just know that he's started talking about that.
That's probably something that Matt should be attuned to coming into our February 28th meetings, if there's sort of a concerted effort to talk about that.
I'll forward him those emails, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The foot ferry is going to have an impact on that.
I didn't know, was Kitsap Transit on the routing for those emails?
I don't believe so.
On the what?
The routing.
On the routing for the emails concerning this meeting.
I don't know, but I can forward
them. They're more effective than we are. Because their project.
So I was supposed to meet. I was supposed to meet at 1:30 today with the county and Kitsap Transit and the port. We were all going to talk about this area and the foot ferry, and they canceled because of a little bit of snow. So
okay, so this is to think about the traffic and the parking and all that. Can you schedule that in case we want to poke in?
Well, I don't know when it's going to be.
No, whenever it happens. Yeah, because you know we may get asked, and it's kind of it's way down the road for me. But it's still maybe a hot button issue with Ron raising these concerns, and I don't see us having a big role in it. But obviously, Kitsap Transit has to consider this at some point. On the ferry committee, I kind of wonder: are they if they use the front loader and then have a car that's going to flow down through the holding lot to drop people off, and that's a complex procedure. So I got other interests in that. Good to be on top. And it gives me fodder for my column.
There was somebody at the KCAC, that was Mark, was talking about the state coming in and condemning Mike Wallace Park for ferry parking. Was there ever talk about that?
No. I don't think the state could do that.
Never heard of that. I didn't think they could either.
For holding lot parking?
Yeah. Can they do it ever again? Another
big
government? I didn't think they could after.
Yeah, well, they've got their
one, own. One government entity can condemn another government entity's property. In fact, I think you can even condemn a more senior government property.
Really?
I think you may have misheard that. The big picture on ferries, you know that DOT has their own parking lot right now up by the holding bay. So in 07, the state passed legislation that said they are not going to expand holding lot capacity. And that's why a lot of these properties still held by DOT are not being used. I mean, not being expanded. Mm-hmm. So they will invest in demand management, reservation systems, and things like that. So currently, it's a state policy not to expand their upland parking and holding areas. There is one exception, they're redoing Coleman Dock, and they're moving the Mukilteo Terminal. So there's something like that. But basically, the state policy is no, we are not going to buy more property. We're going to manage it through other means. So that's the.
Do you have a copy of that legislation or a number?
I could look it up. It could be in the RCWs now. And it's probably in the long range strategic plan, 09 plan. That might be easier to pull it out of. But I'll take it for action. And
great. Thank you.
I'll send it to you.
Any Anything else for commissioner comments? We have our next regular meeting date scheduled for the 22nd in midday. And I wanted to know that Monday, which is President's Day, I believe a national holiday, if we still want to do this meeting.
I go back to something I mentioned before, that maybe this meeting shouldn't be on Mondays because we routinely have this holiday issue. And I know Jim is paid 24/7, but even still, I think it's probably, we shouldn't be deliberately scheduling on holidays, so I was thinking of maybe moving this to a better time.
I was actually thinking of canceling because we have a meeting a day later.
Yep, yep.
So because the way it's scheduled, we have a meeting on Wednesday at 1 o'clock, so I would just assume,
sure,
let's just do Wednesday and not do...
How about the bigger picture? I mean, routinely?
Oh, yeah.
You know, do we
want... I think that's a good idea.
So, for paper proposal.
A day other than, yeah, Mondays.
Yeah. So, Tuesday is fine. If we want to schedule this meeting, you know, every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, that's fine with me.
I think that, if we're going to have a predictable time, satisfies the concern I was trying to raise on public holidays.
Right. Well, I'd like to see it more.
You do?
Yeah.
You'd like to see what?
I'd like to see you work.
Oh, okay. Remember, Martin Luther King Day, I was here for a meeting with you all, even though my staff was getting double time.
I showed a disrespect for the holiday.
I guess.
So, you're the vice chair?
Okay.
Is that, that's how the, we set that up?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if I was away on vacation for a week, you would do this?
I could do Tuesdays, but okay, don't have any particular conflict for me, but... Mitch, as you do that topic, I think I've mentioned before that I plan to be gone from right after our April meeting on the 27th. I'll be gone for about 6 weeks. I will come back for the May conference, the WPPA conference, and our May meeting. So I'll be back for about a week. But pretty much the month of May, and early June, I tend.
Does that take you out of the public meeting? Did you say the 28th for public meeting?
This
February.
Would be April.
That's February.
February. Oh, you're April.
Yeah, April, May, June.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
So are you planning any vacations in there that I should?
I am going to be gone a week in April, but it's mid-April, not end of April. And knowing that, I'll try to make sure that I don't flake out during that time.
Well, I don't plan that far. You never know, but if we don't have a quorum, we don't have a quorum.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And if we can't have a Tuesday morning meeting, the world won't stop
the
coming
world, to us. The world didn't end for years and years. And
the staff won't know what to do. We'll just be sitting there. No direction.
And okay. Just to clarify, the shift to the Tuesday mornings, 9 a.m. for the workshops, will that be affected starting immediately? So
well,
starting
not
next
this
week.
Coming.
Yeah, this. Well, good.
Good.
We could do Tuesday next week.
The 13th?
Yeah.
To change the 13th to the 14th.
Fourth.
And then the 20th is President's Day.
We'll cancel that.
Cancel that one because we're having a meeting.
Right.
And then the 28th.
We'd meet on the 28th of February.
Yeah.
Actually, then we would have three meetings that day.
Yeah.
We'd have our morning workshop and then the two public input meetings.
Yeah.
I think the intent of the Tuesday meetings was to be between meetings so there's some space.
Right.
So that if we had to do action, we didn't have to wait a month to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also just I yeah. really appreciate the discussion factor that we can have
yes,
on things.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Gives us time to consider something before we vote on it.
Let's see.
Well, I can certainly manage moving to Tuesday starting this coming week, but...
yeah, that's fine with me. We have a Tuesday the 14th. And then we would... cancel the 21st.
We should check with the yacht club just to make sure they're not having cleaning done in here or anything on Tuesday morning. So
check with Sally and make sure that we're fine.
How's Elise coming?
Good. So Bruce gave me some great comments that I'm incorporating now, and should have that draft done certainly in the next 2 days, and then we'll send it over. There really aren't any major changes. We're just changing the format a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to change that part where it says the rent, and we're just going to change a 1 to a 2. So we're just increasing it by 1.
Well, yeah. I'm thinking we want to reflect our current usage with the Tuesday meetings. Make sure we're covered for that. It's no more intense than we used to use this for a regular meeting.
Right.
But I think we want to be covered for the meeting density.
But since it's a 10-year lease, I didn't want to tie us in. So there is a provision that says the port can use the facilities at no charge. I can't remember how it said.
Unduly interfering with their scheduled use.
But it's pretty vague.
So that we can continue to do what we're doing here, basically.
And they have no problem with it. I talked to Tony the other night. He's fine with it.
Steve has grumbled a couple of times.
Yeah. Tony's going to be a good commenter because he doesn't get involved in the the mid stuff.
Okay. Anything else? I think the meeting is adjourned. Do we do a motion to adjourn, or do we just...
By acclamation.
By acclamation.